All right. If you're able to stand, did I ask you to turn to Psalm? Yeah. Good. Psalm 139. Let's stand. We stand to give reverence and honor to the eternal, infallible, inerrant. It's the perfect, preserved word of the living God. All right. Now I'm going to read a couple verses before we read Psalms. So just listen. I'm just reminding you. In Genesis, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God saw everything that he had made. Behold, it was very good. Psalm 139 now, verse 14. "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." God was there. All right, now look up here. John 3, Jesus says, "That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit." Now listen to this verse from Romans. "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus?" I've never met the human that didn't have something that they would change about themselves. The most beautiful people, they go, "Oh, this was just eyebrow was a little higher, just a little bit higher up there. It'd be better. Oh, my chin, I feel like it's just tilted a little bit too much. I need one of my ears is a little lower than the other. Oh, I wish my hair wasn't this kinky. My hair is so straight. Wish it wasn't red. Oh, I wish I wasn't this tall." There's all kinds. Is everybody hearing me? I was in my 20s. I think I was 23 or 24. I met a person that God used to help me. I've been here many times. I was born with what's called a cleft lip and a cleft palate. The street word is a hair lip. And I was made fun of my speech as a child, not all the time. I've got 5 brothers and 5 sisters. I'm in the middle, and they never let me know. I never knew from any of them that I had a hair lip. I never knew I had any speech difficulty. But as you get older, of course, first, second, third graders, they don't care. They just, everybody plays together. You don't care what color you are, what you talk like. You just get together and play. Well, when you get to 6th, 7th, 8th grade, then you start making fun of each other. So I wasn't happy about how I was created in the womb. I thought it could be better. I thought my goober brother, he deserves to have it, but I don't. If anybody in the family out of 11 kids is going to have this, why me? Anyway, this fellow, God used him to say, "You know, when you were created in the womb, God's the one that made you. The family you were born in, God's the one that put you there. The nation, the country, the parents, God is the one that put you there. And when you don't like it and you're in complaint, you're complaining with the Creator. You need to get to the place where you can say, God, thank you." And I was 23, I believe, for the first time, that I said, "God, I want to tell you thanks. That when I was in the womb, you came down and you took your finger and you touched me right underneath the nose and said, I'm going to make him special." And he did. I'm special. I wish I could sing it to you, but I'm not going to. All right. We need to thank him. Amen? He made us like we are. Let's pray and see what he has to say to us tonight. Our great God, I do love you and I thank you. I give you glory and praise. for just what we've enjoyed right now in this place tonight, let alone this morning. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for your word. Hallelujah. We'd be so lost without it. We'd have zero direction without it. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you that you still save people. You still call people to preach your word. And thank you that you still save people and they want to hear your word. And of course, I'm grateful for Berean Baptist Church and the desire and the declaration of the word that happens here regularly. And this is what they desire. And God, I believe it's what your plan is and what you desire for us. So I ask you, would you help me again tonight? Give me unction and utterance. Give me power to preach. Just I want to be able to communicate in such a way that, Lord, however I fumble and stumble around, that you could make it to speak to hearts and you could get glory from it. That it ultimately brings all the glory to you. For those not saved, it brings glory to you when they say yes and receive Christ. For us that are saved, it brings glory to you when we say yes and surrender ourselves again by faith. So thank you, Jesus. We look forward to when we get to see you. And we just want to say that we're looking forward to what you're going to do in our hearts tonight. It's in your holy and precious name we pray, Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So God made us with a unique identity. We're all unique. Unique fingerprints. Unique retina scan thingy bobs. Unique DNA. Our hair. Our eyes. Our makeup. Some people are left brain. Some people are right brain. Some people have a tendency for music. It's just automatic. And for us that don't, it makes us sick that a six-year-old can get up and start doing this. And you go, sit down. Get off the bench. Some people are just automatically, they're good at artwork. And they can do wonderful with it. Others are good with numbers. Just give them numbers, they're really good at them, man. They put them together and stuff. Some of us aren't. Some people are really good with the sciences and medicine. Some people can build anything. Mechanically, their brain sees it all. They don't have to go to school for it. They just can see how things work. They understand it. It's incredible. Some people are really good in athletics. Some people have a pencil or a typewriter in front of them. They're very good at giving the words, put them on a page and give pictures and help people see and understand stuff. It's incredible. We all have our, I'm going to say a word, we all have our own proclivities. I'm glad some people said right, because I ain't sure what it means, but it really sounds like it fits right there. That we all do our own thing. We all have this thing that identifies us. We have our God. Listen, every human has God-given talents and abilities, intellect, personality, temperament. This is God-given. When you were in the womb, you got these chromosomes, you got these things from your parents and all this stuff, but God is the one that formed you, and as you mature, things, I know you can learn and you can add things to it, but some you just have special abilities and talents that God has gifted you with. Everybody does. So we're all created for the same purpose, though. Every human. All these talents, all these abilities created for the same purpose is to bring glory to Him and to fellowship with Him. Everybody. Every human. So how does this, I call it the unique person, the unique self. How does this unique self have value? What gives us worth? What gives us this value? So a picture that Mr. Wells, and he's the one, Michael Wells, wrote a book called Sidetracked in the Wilderness. And that's where that God began to work on me back in March and so on. He gave this description. I think it's apt. I think it's very helpful. He said, consider your body, your unique self, as a tool. So now let's talk about the tool. Let's say we have a hammer, and the hammer's laying on the workbench. If someone, that hammer has no value just there, but if someone picks it up and builds a widow woman a home, that has great value because of who has it in their hand and what it was used for. If someone else picks up the hammer and bashes somebody's head in, well, that's not the same kind of value. So it depends on the source, whose hand the tool is in, and what is being done, the purpose of what they're doing with it. So the instrument has value and worth by who uses it and what it's used for. So our unique self cannot be changed. My talents, my abilities, who I am, my makeup, it's not changed. But the source can change. Who's using the unique self? So, to amplify this and for us to see it, there are three, I'm going to call them three positions of the unique self. This position here, every human is in this position, and this is called the natural self. Every human has it. When you're born, you are born a natural person, a natural man, if you want to call it. Over here is a spiritual man. So as we define this, the natural man is someone who does not have fellowship with God. That's how we learned it this morning. The natural man does not have the Holy Spirit residing in them. They are separated from God. They don't have fellowship with God. How Jesus said it, that which is born of flesh is flesh. They are the natural man. Here's another way to say it. I like to say this word. It just sounds, in my brain, I think it sounds intellectual, the Adamic nature. Adamic. So it's the Adam person. We're all kin to Adam. Amen? And because of that, we are born sinners. We've not yet been born. We're still dead in trespasses and sin. Remember, we're body, soul, and dead spirit. That's why the natural man, this unique person, unique self, needs to be born again. So we are all born sinners. I don't know. I don't like the word, but I don't know how else to say it to help me picture it. We are dead positionally to God. We have no fellowship with God. We are dead to God. There is no access for God to us as long as we are dead in sins. The Adamic man, the Adamic nature, the sinful person, he's the natural man. He's not yet born again. There's no fellowship. This person produces what the Bible calls the flesh. This person is in the flesh or does works of the flesh. And so I've done this here before, I'm certain, but this is where I am over here. I'm in the flesh. Amen? So this sinful person, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 15, I'll show you what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians 15 kind of defines, or at least gives us a picture of where this Adamic nature and so on, how it fits into God's plan and God's economy. So here we go. Chapter 15, we could do the whole chapter, I love it, but we're only going to jump in at verse 44, so we're just jumping in. I know you could go a lot of places, but here's where we're going to start. Verse 44. It is sown a natural body. it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. Look up here. There is a spiritual body. So here we go. This is the natural, unique self. Amen? There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. That is obvious. We just read it, so let's keep going. Verse number 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So here we go again. The first man, Adam, this morning we talked about it just a moment. The first man was out of the dust of the ground. He was made a living soul. He's the first man, Adam. Then it says, the last Adam was a quickening spirit. Now, us that know the Bible, and we've been around a little while, we know exactly who the last Adam is. But if you just for the first time in your life are reading 1 Corinthians 15, you go, well, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Whoever that last Adam is a quickening spirit. Well, what is a quickening spirit? Quickening. Quickening means that this last Adam, whomever it is, has the ability to quicken a spirit. He's a quickening spirit. What does that mean? That the spirit was dead, and this last Adam has the ability to make it alive. Amen. Whoever this last Adam is, he has the ability to make something that was dead alive. It's awesome. Here we go. Keep going. Watch. Verse number 46. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that was his natural. Look up here. It's pretty easy. Look up here. Hey, just pay attention. The spiritual was not first. Natural was first. Pretty simple. Keep going in the verse. Here we go. It says, but that which, and afterward, that which is spiritual. Verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. Now here we go again. Look up here. We already did it this morning. The first man is of the earth. He's the dust of the ground. He's a dirtbag. He's earthy. Amen? All humans are born earthy. Oh, mercy. I don't know if you got this or not. Did I go too fast? Look at the verse right here. Look what it says. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man, which is, that would be what we're talking about, the last Adam. Amen? The last Adam, it tells us who he is. He is the Lord from heaven. Amen. Now we know who the last Adam is. Now we know who has the ability to make dead things alive. It's the Lord from heaven. Amen. How plain can it get? Glory to his name. Here we go. Watch verse number 48. As is the earthy, well, such are they also that are earthy. Excuse me, if you're over here, you're going to be earthy, you're going to act like an earthy. Or a dirtbag. That's how you're going to be. Keep going. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Now, what's the heavenly? That's the Lord from heaven. Look at verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. He's talking about people on this planet. We're all born, our unique self is born here, the natural man, earthy man, the Adamic man. We're going to bear the image of the Adam man. We're going to act like an Adam man. Oh, or a sinner. Oh, but if you can get over here somehow, you're going to act like the Lord from heaven. You're going to be a spiritual person. Is everybody with me? It's incredible that God makes it that plain and that simple to us. Watch, this unique person has God-given talents and ability. The old man, the natural man, the Adam man, watch, is controlled. The Bible doesn't specifically call it this, but it has a good title. It's the unholy trinity, the world, the flesh, the devil. The Adam nature, the Adamic man, the natural, unique self is controlled by the world, the flesh, the devil. The spiritual man is controlled by the Spirit of God. Pretty simple. The ability that was created to express God and bring glory to God instead of bringing glory to God and honor to God, is sin, and now it has the condition of the flesh, and he's distorted God's purpose and God's plan. And now he lives for himself. He lives to do what he wants to do, his own desire, his own pleasures, his own purposes. Anybody getting this? That's the natural man. Well, what can we do with that? What can we do with that natural Adamic man that's right there? What can we do with him? Well, if you're in 1 Corinthians, right in front of 1 Corinthians is Romans. If you turn to Romans, I want to show you something. Now, all we're doing is trying to discover from God's Word these, I call them these positions, the natural man and the spiritual man, try to show you these, and what does God say they are, and what are we to do with them, and so on. So what are we to do with this natural man person? Well, in Romans 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that's with Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. All right, now watch. This unique person that was given talents and ability by God has no fellowship with God, has no access to God. They're in their natural state. What can be done with him? The Bible says that he needs to die. And how would that happen? He needs to be crucified with Christ. Well, how would that happen? Well, if he would receive Christ as his Savior, he gets the benefit of Christ's crucifixion. So that's why it says we are crucified with him. Is everybody with me? So what can be done with this natural man is that he must be crucified. He must die. Not the actual unique person, but it's this nature, this natural man that's in me. So you don't wipe out the person, because the person has the ability to bring glory to God, fellowship with God. But if he's in the natural state, he does not. And the only way he can get to the natural state is that the natural man must die. He must be crucified. When does crucifixion happen? It happens when we are in Christ. Well, when does a person get in Christ? The moment that we receive Christ as our Savior, the phenomenon happens. When this person over here realizes that they're a sinner, they realize they don't have access to God, and they can't get to God on their own. And they get to this place where they go, I want access to God. I do want to fulfill the purpose he made me for. I want to fellowship with him. I want to bring glory to him, but I can't. And when he realizes that he can't not do it on his own, but God made a plan through his son Jesus, that Jesus died for our sin. Somebody say amen. We went over that this morning. And so when he died for our sin, if I receive that, the old man is crucified with him. He's dead. I'm not over there anymore. I'm over here. I'm the spiritual man. I receive Christ as my Savior. I now have a living spirit. I'm body, soul, and spirit. New creature. I didn't do it. God did it. All of this, oh mercy. You would be a very unique person that if you knew the moment you got saved, all this happened to you. Most of us just know, well, I'm in trouble. I'm a sinner and I know it. I'm going to hell. If God said he'd save me and his son died for me, I believe it. Please save me. And he saved me, and we had no idea we changed positions. We had no idea that we're a new creature. We have no idea that we have a whole new life in front of us. But God does this for us, and now he's teaching us what he's doing. And so what do we do when we change places, position? You got to catch this. Look at Romans 6. Look at verse 11. Likewise, oh mercy sakes. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Go back up to verse 6 again. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified, he's dead with him. Why? That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. When I received Christ as my Savior, I was crucified. I didn't finish the phenomenon a while ago. At the moment I received Christ, I was placed in Christ. At the very same moment, he was placed in me. I became the temple of the Holy Ghost. Christ says, Christ uses the word abide in me and I in you. So when a person gets saved, this phenomenon happens that the old man dies, the dead man is, the dead spirit is made alive, and the Holy Spirit now lives in me and I'm in Christ. I get all the benefit of Christ that he was crucified, I died with him. Why? That the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. Amen? Look at verse 11. Look at it again. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're over here, the Bible says, Paul the Apostle is making it plain, hey, McCracken, why don't you reckon it true that you're dead indeed unto sin? It's dead. Why would he say, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves? He said, because you died with Christ, now you need to pay attention and you need to reckon it to be true. I know where I am. I'm in Missouri. I was born here. I grew up in Kentucky. I've been in Oklahoma a long time. And we know what reckon means. We've been reckoning our whole life. I reckon it's time to eat. I reckon I got to go. I reckon I ain't going to be there. Is everybody with me? We reckon stuff all the time. And in our little brain, to us, reckon means it's a decision that we got to do. The word in the Bible, the reckon word in the Bible, it's a mathematical term. It's when you're keeping the books. What is keeping the books? Well, it's when you have a ledger, you put numbers in the book, and you minus and you plus. Thank God you don't have to divide. Or times. It's just addition and subtraction. So, I already know this to be true. Us old people know what it means to reconcile your checkbook. Only old people know that. My daughters are old now. But anyway, they're 40. She'll be 46 soon, and Angie's 47. It's incredible. I said, hey, did you reconcile your, how much money you have? Well, I don't know. Well, have you written any checks? Yeah, I've written some checks. Well, did you reconcile it with the bank? What does that mean? Honey, you got to make sure you and the bank agree. Dad, I don't have to do that. I know how much money I got. I just look on my phone. There it is. That's how much money I got. I said, not necessarily. What if you wrote a check and it's still out there somewhere? You don't have that much money. Well, they can figure it out. My mom, bless her heart, she did the bookkeeping for Dad at our house. She got 11 kids. We wrote checks. You know, now we don't write as many checks we used to and so on, but wrote checks. My mom, I've seen her sit at the table where we all eat our meals, have her books out and all that. And I said, Mom, you've been there a while. What are you doing? She said, I'm looking for 2 cents. Looking for 2 cents? Yes, we don't agree. Me and the banker, we're off 2 cents. And I go, do you want me to give you 2 cents? She spent an hour sitting there. She's got to find it so it will reconcile so they will agree. Is everybody with me? Some of you have no idea what that means, what my mama went through, what I talked to her about. You have no idea. You just go, whatever it says, I got it. Anyway. So that's reconcile, where you agree with the bank or you agree with your bank statement and your bookkeeping. Is everybody with me? They agree. He says, when he says reckon it so, he's talking about reconcile it. Make sure that it is so. Believe it. It's true. So when you reckon it so, what are you reckoning that is so? He says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Why would I reckon it so? Because I am saved, I was crucified with Christ, the old man's dead. Why? That henceforth we should not serve sin. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved and you live here and you're born again, according to the Holy Bible, we do not have to sin. And I've heard it all my life. Well, you can't help it. Everybody sins every day. Everybody sins every day. You can't help it. Well, I thought we were dead indeed unto sin. I was raised with him that I can walk in newness of life. I'm over here. I got saved, folks. I'm born again. But I've got to get to the place where I reckon it to be true. Believe it, count it so. That's what reckon it means. Reckon means to believe it, to count it to be true. Do you believe what the Bible says, that we were crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed? Do you believe that? About 20%? Do you believe that we are dead with him?
Yes.
Indeed unto sin. Do you believe it to be true?
Yes.
And most of us, we go, well, I don't know if it's true or not. And now I'll tell you why. Because if this is true, why do we, and I could say why do I, but why do we have so much trouble with our behavior, our attitude? Why do we have so much trouble with lust? Lust for things, lust for attention, lust for power, lust for self-satisfaction. Why? Well, you know, why do we have so much trouble with sin? If I'm saved and I'm crucified with Christ and I'm dead indeed unto sin, and I reckon it to be true and I know it's true, why am I having so much trouble with it? The only thing you can do with the natural man, he must be crucified. But here's the deal. The unique self, we're all born, the natural man, we're all born sinners. When we get saved, praise God, we receive Christ as our Savior. We are now spiritually alive. We're the spiritual man. But there is another man. The Bible calls him the carnal man. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 3, it's right after Romans. Look what the Holy Bible says. And Paul's talking to the church at Corinth. And he says in verse 1, "And I, brethren," so he's talking to believers, "could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." Then he goes, "Well, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you're not able to bear it. Well, neither yet now are you able. For you're yet carnal." Look what he says. Here's some carnal distinctions or evidences. "For whereas there's among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" Paul just said these three distinct things, and I could preach a whole message just on these three things, but Paul says, hey, you Corinthian people, you're carnal. How do I know you're carnal? He says these three things, because there's envying, strife, and divisions in your family. Is everybody hearing me? Maybe I'm going too fast for some of you. If there's envying going on in your heart in any way, you're carnal. If there's any kind of strife going on in your family, your workplace, if there's any divisions, is anybody hearing me? I didn't write it. It's in the Holy Bible. And these are only three of them. He said, you are yet carnal. So wait a minute. There's the natural man, the spiritual man, but evidently Christians can be carnal. So what is carnal? Well, some of you, I enjoy Mexican food. I like it a lot. I can eat it every day, and I'm not kidding. I can eat it every day. I like it a lot. I don't get tired of it. I like it. And there's something in Mexican food called chili con carne. Now, I do know some Spanish, and I throw it out every once in a while. I don't mean to surprise people or act like I'm really good in two languages and so on. But chili con carne. Chili just means bean. That's what the word chili means in Spanish. Con, C-O-N, means with. So it means bean with carne. Well, carne means meat. We would, another word is flesh. That's what meat is. It's a good chunk of flesh. Ooh, mercy. When someone says, hey, you want some chili? And I go, yeah, I like some chili. And they bring it to me and I go, I ain't got no meat in it. Well, this is just chili. Well, all my chili has meat in it. I don't really want chili if it ain't got no meat. Is everybody with me? I want chili con carne. Amen? That's what the word carnal, carne, is. It's flesh. Are you not yet fleshly? As Christians, the spiritual man can be carnal. And it's heartbreaking. But we can. And we behave like it. We walk like it. We talk like it. I thought if I got saved, it's all over. No, it's not all over. Why do we have the carnal man? Let me just, I wrote down a few things. Our unique self, when we were born dead into this planet, we were born body, soul, and dead spirit. Our unique self, this tabernacle, this temple, this place I live in, is contaminated with sin. It is born a sinner, and it practices sin, and it is a sinner. Amen? So that's our unique self. When salvation happens, watch this, my unique self went with me over here to the spiritual man. My unique self didn't die. My unique self's with me. I still have the same abilities I had before. Same talents, same gifts. Is everybody with me? I'm still the same person. It's just now I am a spiritual person. I've been born again. I have within me a new man. Or you could say I am a new creature. The only thing that got born and again did when I moved from here to here is my dead spirit. He's dead in trespasses and sin. He had no fellowship with God. Now that he's been regenerated, now that he's been made alive, I have fellowship with God. Hallelujah. But this did not get saved. It is a bummer. But the only thing that got born again that was made new is my dead spirit. With the Holy Spirit now indwelling in me, in us, the moment, oh, mercy, the moment that we move from here to here, we were thrust into a conflict. The battle began the moment I received Christ as my Savior. If you turn with me, after Corinthians is 2 Corinthians. After the 2 Corinthians is Galatians. If you would go to Galatians, please. Galatians chapter 5. Watch this. Oh, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Please look up here. I didn't write the Bible. The Bible says the flesh lusteth against the spirit. Every time I've ever read the word in my life, the word lust, I always, the first thing pops in my mind is some kind of sexual sin, that you're lusting and so on. Well, the word lust doesn't have to only be sensual. Lust can be that you desire it. You want it really bad. You do whatever it takes to get it. It's kin to coveting. Is everybody with me? So the Bible says that the flesh is coveting is lusting against the spirit. The flesh is saying, no, I don't want to do that. No, I am not about to do that. I want my way. I'm going to do what I want to do. And the Holy Bible, I didn't write it, but the Holy Bible says, and the spirit against the flesh. And the spirit what? The spirit lusteth against the flesh. What does that mean? The spirit wants its way. It wants to do what's right. It wants to do what the Lord would want it to do. The spirit is in a battle against the flesh. And so the moment you get saved, the spiritual man is in a battle, in a war, the Bible calls it, against the flesh. In fact, it says it just like that. It says, put on the whole armor of God. Why? We're in a war. Listen to this one. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Ladies and gentlemen, in this spiritual battle that I'm in with my flesh, I don't have a big club that I can go, bam, all right, it's over. It's not a fleshly, it's not a carnal club I can use. It's not a carnal weapon. But whatever weapons I have over here are mighty. You just hear the word. They are mighty through God. Oh, mercy. I'm going to preach this through the week, but I'm just telling you. Us crybabies in this room, they go, well, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I've got this habit, and I got sin in my life, and I just keep giving into it and all that. I just can't. I just give up. Excuse me, a whole lot of people used to go to church. Are they saved? They could be. But they lived in the carnal life so much, and they don't feel like they have any ability to win the battle. But the Bible says that our weapons are mighty through God. Somebody say amen. Amen. We don't have to lose. That needs to be pointed out to us plainly. Stop being a crybaby. Stop being a wimp. You do not have to lose all the battles. Or most of the battles. Yeah, our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he walketh about. He wants to destroy this carnal man so the spiritual man doesn't have any ability to do anything now. So once he destroys this over here, devours me, am I going to bring glory to God again? I don't know. When the Bible says he devours me, it's like he's going to have to throw up so I can get back over there. Or my life is useless. Is everybody hearing me? I didn't write it. Wow. So what can we do with this carnal man? He's real. It's true. The Bible makes it plain. I can't do the things I want to do over here because of him. Well, here's how the Lord Jesus said it to his disciples, to us. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. What did he say? He said, you're going to have to deny yourself. Deny myself. Who's myself? Look up here. It's my carnal man. The natural man's dead. But now I got this battle with the carnal man. He's going to be with me until I get to heaven. Well, what can I do with him? Well, Jesus said, deny him. Well, Strong's Concordance says deny is something like this. To forget oneself. To lose sight of oneself. Lose sight of one's own interest. Noah Webster says, to decline the gratification, the appetites, or desires. Let me say that again. To decline gratification of appetites or desires. To refrain, to abstain. This morning I read to you out of the Dictionary Bible Themes in my Logos. Listen to what this says. The willingness to deny oneself's possessions or status in order to grow in holiness and commitment to God. How often do we tell him no? I'm going to say no to my interests, my gratification. I'm going to say no because I've made a decision to holiness and to God. Is anybody hearing me? I'll just go ahead and be honest with you. I've been in church my whole life. I've been a Christian since I was 8 years old. I've been saved for, it's hard to believe, 61 years, and I'm grateful. But most of my life has been ruled and run by Him. Amen. Some new clothes, get a new car, get a new house. It's whatever He wants. Is anybody hearing me? Friends, books I read, TV shows I watch. I don't know if you're hearing me or not. The last thing a human wants to do is tell himself no. And it is one of the biggest battles you'll ever, ever engage in. That's why I believe that one of the things that the Lord left us with is when He said, when ye fast. Well, what do you mean by that? When you don't eat. Well, how often do you have to do that? Well, like Brother Gamble said this morning about the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, how often you do it? Well, as often as you do it. Doesn't tell us, it just says as often as you do it. But the Lord Jesus says, when you fast, evidently He thought we were going to. You know why we don't? Well, I'll get a headache, man. That's really bad. I can't do nothing, and I don't want to get sick. Somehow, us spiritual people that want to walk in the Spirit need to tell the carnal man, no, you don't get your way. You don't get to have what you want. Well, it's just not easy. You got that right. It's called a war. It's called a battle. Self-denial goes against every single thing in our existence. But to say no to the Christ, to say no to our carnal man is recognizing that Jesus Christ is our one new and true center. It's about Him, and I want to spend more time here than I do there. Let's look at one more verse and I'll be done. After Galatians, turn a few pages, get to all the T books, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus. I'd like to look at Titus chapter 2. It's the last of the T books. Titus chapter 2, I have a couple verses here and I'll be finished. Look at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Let's just stop right there and look up here. Let's get it in our brain. Do we all agree that God's grace is how people get saved? God's grace is for everybody. It's appeared to all men through Jesus Christ. God's grace brings salvation to all men. How do you receive God's grace? By faith. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Amen? Right. All right. For grace hath appeared to all men. Now look at the next verse, verse 12. Teaching us, what's teaching us? God's grace is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Look up here. The grace of God is what teaches me to say no. Amen. To deny it. The grace of God is what helps me keep my eye on the eastern sky and looking for Jesus to come back. Is everybody with me? How do we get God's grace? There's only one way. It's by faith. And most of us in this room spend our Christian life trying to obtain God's grace so we can get over here so we can learn how to say no to that. And we're doing it on our own. And the Bible says, no, it's the grace of God that teaches you. It's free, friend. But you need to believe it. No, 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 no. You got to recognize where you are. Because most of us go, well, I don't guess I really need it because I'm doing pretty good. The carnal man rules and reigns in most of our lives. We're saved, but Christ doesn't rule and reign. I'd say probably need a big revival going on. I ask you to stand. Thank you. Thank you for listening. I'd like to pray with you, please. Our great God, I come to you again. Thank you that your word teaches us that you don't give up on us. Thank you that you declare to us that we can say no to the carnal man. Thank you that when I realize this battle I'm in, that this carnal man, he's not dead. The natural man, I'm dead indeed to sin. I don't have to sin anymore. However, you've made it plain that the carnal man is not the spiritual man. God, I pray for all of us tonight that we would accept by faith this grace that you want to give us, that we can say no to the carnal man. Anyone that's not saved, I'm so glad that you're giving them this opportunity. I pray that you make it clear to them they must be born again to get from the natural man to the spiritual man. They must be saved to even have fellowship with you. Lord, I pray they'd say yes to you tonight. Our heads are bowed and we're going to begin to